with AEW preempted another 24 hours, we get to talk some NXT tonight. Coming off TakeOver 30, and I've got some bad news. Wade Barrett was back on commentary, at least for the next 2 weeks, since I believe next week is going to be a taped show. Speaking of next week's show, we got huge news on next week's show. We got some news on that coming up a little bit later. One of the biggest matches in NXT history. The history of NXT television is coming up next Tuesday. Karrion Kross no longer the NXT champion, just days after winning it. And we have new NXT tag team champions. All that and more on a very newsworthy night for NXT and a very special Sound Off Extra. Hope you're all enjoying your Wednesday night. I am the Solemn Monster, and this is your NXT review for Wednesday, August 26, 2020. A very newsworthy episode of NXT going off the air just a few minutes ago. They could not have picked a better night to go unopposed. I got to tell you, I thought this was the best NXT television show that we've gotten, takeovers aside, in a very long time. There's been something missing from these shows a lot recently, and this was a very good episode of NXT and got me very excited for next week, which we're going to get into as we roll along here. Oh, God, roll along. I sound like Michael Cole now. But yes, I thought it was a very good show tonight. So tonight we had the return of Wade Barrett. We have not seen Barrett in many years in WWE since he left the company. He got out of the wrestling business for a while. I think he was looking to do other things, and he was doing the World of Sport thing, which didn't last very long. And more recently, we've seen him on NWA Power. I thought he was very good on NWA Power. They brought him in to replace Jim Cornette after Cornette's joke, which got him booted from the show. He's got the voice for it. I mean, whether it's NWA Power, NXT, Barrett's a natural at it. I hope they bring him back. Supposedly, this was a one-off. I know he said he's going to be on next week's show, but again, I think that just has to do with the fact that it's being taped. If not, if it wasn't being taped tonight, which I doubt it is, perhaps tomorrow. But, you know, beyond that, I would love for him to become a permanent fixture on the team. I thought he did a very good job tonight. I was very impressed. And I don't know what the, you know, I guess I would have to think that if WWE has brought him in, his status is not so much up in the air with the NWA as much as it's over and done. WWE is not going to bring in an NWA talent and work out a deal with Billy Corgan the way that Tony Khan did to bring Thunder Rosa in, which apparently that's what happened. Thunder Rosa is still the NWA Women's Champion. She has not left the NWA, and it was a deal that was worked out between Corgan and Khan. I don't see WWE playing well with others, so NWA's loss would be NXT's gain if he does stick around. Next week, it's NXT's turn. The shoe's going to be on the other foot. All the NXT fans that poke fun at AEW, haha, you're preempted, as they were last week. And they didn't do badly on Saturday. They pulled in about 755 or so thousand viewers on a night that was not their native night, and they were pushed back half an hour by the NBA. That's a pretty damn good number. But, you know, a lot of people said, you know, this is going to be NXT's time now. AEW's going to, you know, everything's going to be all screwed up now. They're not in their normal night. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot, because next week the NHL playoffs are going to bump NXT one night earlier. So next Tuesday, September 1st at 8 p.m. on USA, NXT will be on the air, which means I'm going to be back here. I'm going to be here for a Tuesday stream and a Wednesday stream next week, so I hope you'll join me. The show opened tonight with the... hey, Rob, what's going on, man? Rob Bass not going to be around for too long, so I will say hello to Rob. I will say hello, I will say goodbye. It's like that Grandpa Simpsons meme. The show opened with the new NXT champion, Karrion Kross and Scarlett, making their usual entrance. It did not look good. You can tell just from his entrance. His arm was in a sling. This was the separated shoulder that he suffered the other night in his takeover match with Keith Lee. An entrance, by the way, if I may point out, that is more well-suited, I think, for the Thunderdome. just a little hint of what may be to come for Karrion Kross when he is able to come back. I suspect that when he does come back, and it sounds like he may be out for a while, I don't think we're talking, you know, 4 months or 6 months or anything like that, but this is going to be more than a month-long thing. Otherwise, why take the title off of him? But I think he's going to be moving on up. I mean, to me, he's already accomplished, you know, the chief goal of anybody who comes into NXT. He's been the NXT champion. He's unbeaten. It almost seems kind of pointless if they're going to end up calling him up anyway. I just can't see Vince McMahon seeing that entrance and taking a look at this guy who is bigger than the average WWE star and looking at Scarlett and not saying, how come we don't have this guy on Raw? Or how come we don't have this guy and this woman on SmackDown? So I'm not so sure that Karrion Kross is coming back to NXT. But he came out, he had his right arm in his sling, and he warned that, you know, everybody, he had said that everybody would suffer. He warned everybody was going to pay the price and that he was going to take the NXT championship. And that's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did at TakeOver. But in the course of war, when you fight your battles, there are casualties. And he happened to be a casualty in the course of his battle with Keith Lee. He confirmed that he separated his shoulder. Said he's a realist. He understands that WWE, NXT, they're probably not going to let him wrestle in this condition. He knows this. So that's when he placed the championship on the ground, and he, without saying the words, he basically relinquished. He vacated the NXT championship as quickly as he won it. He has given it back. That just goes to show you, in the blink of an eye, man, boom, just like that, everything can change. You're only one injury away from being off TV, one injury away from irrelevance. Thankfully for him, they've put a lot into the act and him and Scarlett, so he'll be fine. But anyway, he gave the championship up here. And so Vacant claims another championship for his collection. He's having quite the year. He's had quite the last 5 years, 10 years, let's be honest. I mean, every year is a good year for Vacant. So Vacant claims another one. A first ballot Hall of Famer, if I've ever seen one, is Vacant. See, to me, the only question is, who inducts him? Who inducts Vacant into the Hall of Fame, right? Everybody has to have an inductor. So who does it? I don't know. I haven't figured that part out yet. For Kross, look, it's a tough break. I feel bad for the guy. He was on a roll. They were putting everything behind him. They rolled out the red carpet for him and Scarlett. Yeah, they put this big presentation together for them. And he wins the championship, and the very night, even before he won the title, he gets injured. And it's a freak thing, too. I think it was on a clothesline, a shoulder check. Again, it happened before the Spirit Bomb. I went back and watched it. It's a freak thing. These things can't be avoided. Separated shoulder. I mean, it's one of those injuries that, you know, it can happen on any kind of move. It doesn't have to be a high-impact move. And if it's a bad one, as it appears to be in his case, it could keep you out for a long time. So I feel bad for the guy, kind of like Finn Balor. When he lost the Universal Championship the night after he won it, he had to give it up after SummerSlam. That's a tough thing. You know, you work so hard to get to that point, only to have it taken away from you. It's got to suck. It's got to be a very shitty feeling. But he's going to be fine. Karrion Kross is going to be fine. He's going to be a big star. He's going to be a big star. And clearly the way they positioned him, they think so too. One injury is not going to derail his momentum. They need stars. This guy could be a star. So when he's ready to come back, whether it's NXT, whether it's the Thunderdome, maybe they'll be out of the Thunderdome by that point. Maybe it'll be later in the year. Whatever it is, whatever brand it may be, he is going to be a star on whatever show he lands on. And he'll be a champion again. Unless, of course, they change his music and they put him in a skirt. Or something that looks like a skirt. Maybe he'll wear Scarlett's skirt. After what happened on Monday night, maybe I shouldn't feel so good about the possibility of him moving to anywhere but NXT. I should be begging. I should be on my hands and knees praying. Right? Isn't that what Scarlett says? Fall and pray. Yeah, I'm going to fall and pray right now. Maybe I should fall and pray that he goes right back to Full Sail and stays as far away from the Thunderdome as possible. I love the point that Wade Barrett made when they came back to the announcers. It was the very first point that he made on the whole show, his debut. And he says, you know, I can relate to this situation. In fact, I suffered the same injury that Karrion Kross did, and I too had to forfeit a championship. That was when he was the Intercontinental Champion. And if I remember, I think it was the injury where Jack Swagger threw him into the ringside barricade. Again, a totally freak thing. Total freak injury. And he separated his shoulder. And if I remember correctly, he had to vacate the Intercontinental Championship. So I thought it was cool that he was able to kind of relate that point because he went through the exact same thing. So already, he's offering something already on commentary. Although I would prefer to see how he does with Morrow. I think Morrow and Wade could be a permanent team on NXT. I'm not sold on Vic Joseph in that spot just yet. So we had Imperium defending the NXT Tag Team Championships against Breezango. By virtue of their win on the TakeOver pre-show, they beat Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, Legado del Fantasma, to become the number one contenders for the NXT Tag Team Championship to earn this match here on this show. And Breezango does not waste any time. They go on the attack before the bell even rings. They're going after Imperium. And Marcel Bartel tags in, works over Fandango's arm for a little bit. Come back from commercial, and they're working over Fandango. Fandango's in a bad way, and they're working him over. Bartel tags back in. Fandango fights him off. Tags in Tyler Breeze. In comes Breeze. He makes the big comeback. Hits a spinning heel kick. And Breeze fights off Eichner. He gets tagged in. Fandango and Breeze, they're double teaming these guys. And as it's going along, it's a pretty good match. I wouldn't call it a great match, but it was a pretty good match. I was enjoying this. And Tyler Breeze, skipping ahead to the end here. Breeze tags back into the ring, and he's throwing super kicks. He hits a super kick on Eichner. I think he hit a super kick on Bartel as well. Fandango tags in. He hits a top rope leg drop, a move that used to be his finisher. He doesn't do it now in every match, which is probably wise, because the more you do a move like that, you're going to have a lot of hip problems later in your career. I mean, Hulk Hogan didn't jump off the top rope doing a leg drop. He just did it standing up. Look at all the back problems he had. Imagine coming off the top rope with that over the course of a 10, 15-year career. But he busted it out here because it was a special occasion. And the occasion was Breezango wins the tag team championships. He hits the top rope leg drop on both members of Imperium, and he gets the pin on Eichner to win the titles. Again, good match. And you know what? I know that I have not been the biggest Breezango fan. I was always a Tyler Breeze fan, but together as a team, maybe it was just because the way they were positioned for so long, they were positioned as lower card guys, and they really weren't pushed as anything but a comedy act, and it could be entertaining, but I would never take them seriously as tag team championship contenders. But you know what? Seeing them get their moment here, good for them. Good for them. Happy for them. It's a good moment for them. I think it's going to be short-lived. I think this was designed to get the titles onto Legado del Fantasma. That's what I think this. Remember, on the kickoff show on Saturday, it wasn't Joaquin Wilde or Raul Mendoza to take the losing fall. It was Oney Lorcan. So they kind of protected Fantasma. And I think what they're doing here is they gave these two guys a moment, and they're going to be transitional champions. And their job now is to drop the belts, whether it's on TV, whether it's a takeover in a couple of months. I don't think they should wait that long. I think their job is going to be to drop the belts to Legado del Fantasma. So that's what I think is going to end up happening here. And I'm okay with that. Now, they're the new heel group on the brand. They've already got the Cruiserweight Championship. They put the tag team titles on these two guys. We've seen WWE do this before, where they get titles on all the members of a faction. I think that's where they're going with this. Shout out to everybody in the chat. joining me here on a Wednesday night. Usually, again, it's AEW normally that we review live here on YouTube, but the last 2 weeks, there's been no AEW. There's going to be AEW tomorrow night. We're going to talk about AEW later on in the stream. But tonight, we're having some fun talking NXT. And I got to shout out Chris Quillman. Chris Quillman was, who may or may not still be in the chat. I believe he said he had to bow out early, but he did drop a $5 super chat, so I do want to show some love for Mr. Quillman and Turbo. Turbo is number two here tonight. So thank you to him for the super chat drop as well. Timothy Thatcher. Timothy Thatcher in a backstage segment comes walking on by as Damian Priest is being interviewed. Damian Priest is the new North American champion. He did win the ladder match at TakeOver, and he's interrupted by Timothy Thatcher. Timothy Thatcher did not win at TakeOver. Timothy Thatcher lost at TakeOver to Finn Balor, and yet he wants to be first in line for a shot at the North American title. Now, that don't make a whole lot of sense, and I like Timothy Thatcher, but you lost. Why should you be first in line for a championship opportunity? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But anyway, that was the segment. They had a little stare down. Damian Priest laughed and he walked off. We then had the return of Tommaso Ciampa, former NXT champion. Tommaso Ciampa one-on-one against Jake Atlas. Ciampa came walking out wearing a new mask for his entrance. I'm not quite sure what it was supposed to be. Some kind of demon or gargoyle or something. I'm not quite sure. But it looked pretty cool. It looked badass. I'll give him that. This was not, I call it a match. It really wasn't much of a match. It was more a very brief destruction of Jake Atlas. Poor Jake Atlas got to play the role of victim here in this segment. And Willow's Bell, that's what he calls his draping DDT, does Ciampa the Willow's Bell and gets the three count. If this went 3 minutes, I'd be shocked. He destroyed this kid. This was a mean streak and a side of Tommaso Ciampa that we have not seen in a very, very, very long time. And I loved every minute of it. He continued the assault when the match was over outside the ring. He threw Atlas into the plexiglass. He threw him into the ring steps. He was mounting him. He was raining blows and right hands down upon this kid. And out come referees, and they're trying to get him off of him. And finally, it looks like he's going to back off, and then he goes right back on the attack. And he positions Atlas headfirst under the ring. So he pulls up the ring skirt. And, you know, if you had two guys who were in the ring, and one guy was going to hit a slingshot under the bottom rope, well, that's what he went to go do, only Atlas's head was under the ring. Got all those metal beams and everything. Ciampa kind of thought, he was thinking twice about it. All right, maybe I won't do this. And he said, fuck this. And he went, and he gave him a slingshot, and up into the beams under the ring is Jake Atlas throat first, and he can't breathe, and he's in a bad way. And I love this because immediately the referees, they throw up the signal. They go, oh, we need a medic. And I swear, it wasn't even 5 seconds. They were rolling. It's almost as if they had it waiting and ready to go. It's like the stretcher magically appeared. Can you at least wait a few seconds, like wait 30 seconds before you wheel that fucking thing out there? It's like they had it positioned right there. So over comes the gurney. But hey, you know what? WWE, they don't waste any time. Somebody gets hurt, they're right there. I guess that's another way to look at it, right? You know, I realized we didn't have on the show tonight, we didn't have Cameron Grimes. Where was Cameron Grimes on this show? We didn't see him. Normally I'd be sick to death of him, but I think he's kind of winning me over. We didn't have any big Cameron Grimes segment on this show. It's very disappointing. So they put poor Jake Atlas. This wasn't quite the show-closing angle on Dynamite with Cody, which was more intense, and he got carted away as well. But they did put him on the stretcher, and referee Drake Unger was yelling at Ciampa. He's yelling, he goes, you know, what the hell are you thinking? What did he do to you? What's the matter with you? Maybe he took his parking space, Drake. Did you ever think about that? Maybe he took the guy's parking space. If he did, then this attack was justified. I can't stand that. You're about to pull in. Somebody pulls in front of you. I'd do the same thing. So before they could wheel poor Jake Atlas away, Ciampa grabs him one more time, and he gives him a draping DDT off the stretcher onto the floor. And then he's done. His job is done, and he walks off, and poor Jake Atlas is left for dead. I love evil Ciampa. This is the Tommaso Ciampa that I miss. We have not seen this version of Tommaso Ciampa since he was the NXT champion. A title that he did not lose. A title that he was forced to surrender. And before TakeOver in New York last year. This is how you do a vicious beatdown as a heel. So to me, there could be no doubt about what he is. Is he a babyface? Is he a tweener? Is he a heel? No, he's a heel. There's no babyface that would do something like this. So we have heel Ciampa back, and I love it because that's the right role for him. That's the Tommaso Ciampa that I want to see. And, you know, there's been rumors about Ciampa, right? There's been rumors about Ciampa maybe having something to do with Retribution. And I think the only reason those rumors began was because he and Dominik Dijakovic, they blacked out their Twitter profiles and deleted all of their tweets a number of weeks ago. People started thinking, oh, what's that all about? So there's been rumors about Dijakovic. There's been rumors about Ciampa. Does he have anything to do? Is he a member of Retribution? Is he a leader of Retribution? It doesn't look like it. I wouldn't have him associated with that dumpster fire if it were me. I guess we'll find out, though. This will probably throw some more gas on the fire for all the conspiracy theorists who believe that he may have something to do with Retribution. Even though, I mean, if you remember what Tommaso Ciampa said, and I don't believe it was tongue-in-cheek, I believe that he was serious when he made the comment a while back. He does not want to go to Raw or SmackDown. He does not want to go full-time to Raw or SmackDown. He would rather retire. He literally said, I would rather retire and just become an agent or a producer or whatever the fuck they're calling them this week than have to go to Raw or SmackDown. Preach. Preach is all I have to say. So if he goes and does the Retribution thing, he's turning his back on everything that he stood for because he made it very clear he did not want to go to Raw or SmackDown. And can you blame the guy? Can you blame him? Especially after what we saw on Monday night. Let's take a look at some more of your Super Chats here. As they keep rolling in, I do appreciate all the support from Trey Knight. Trey Knight with the Undertaker 420. Keith Lee, future WWE Champion, Solomonster. You know, we kind of joke about what happened on Monday night, and I'm going to have more to say on that on the podcast this Sunday. But despite that, his first night in, Keith Lee is going to be fine. Long term, he's going to be fine. Yes, I do think Keith Lee is either a future WWE Champion or a future Universal Champion. I do believe that he will ascend to that height. Guop the Great and Lord Frieza, thank you for the super chat. It's got a huge hurricane coming in. That's right, there's a hurricane coming in. I don't know, depending on where you guys live, I hope you guys are hunkered down and all of you stay safe because this is looking really bad. I think they said making landfall is a Category 4. I don't know if it's been downgraded. So we may have some people who are in the eye of the storm. You know, you may be in the path of the hurricane coming in, and I hope that everybody is safe and okay. And Daryl Long, thank you for the $10, man. I appreciate that very much so. Very much so. Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed, big Bronson Reed, was being who was representing Bam Bam Bigelow at TakeOver. Bam Bam Bigelow-inspired gear on Saturday, which I loved. I thought that was awesome. He was being interviewed backstage. He said that he thinks he deserves a shot at Damian Priest's NXT North American Championship. And Bronson Reed was making sense because he said, I've beaten Damian Priest before one-on-one. So if anybody should be the first in line for a crack at the title, it should be me. I agree. Makes total sense. So I'm thinking I'm thinking Bronson Reed, one-on-one maybe with Timothy Thatcher next week. Winner becomes number one contender. Seems like the most sensible match to make. All of a sudden, though, he was interrupted by Austin Theory. He lives! Austin Theory is alive. He is still employed. And he apparently was under investigation. There were some claims made about, you know, when the speaking out stuff came out. And so they had taken him off TV. Even Seth Rollins recently, he was asked about Austin Theory. He said, he's got some stuff going on. I don't know what's going on. He goes, I wish him well. Well, it worked because not only is he back, but he gets to go back to NXT, which is probably the best thing that he could have asked for. I would look at that as just the best gift that I could have possibly gotten. So he's back in NXT, and he's no longer part of the Messiah group on Monday nights. But the first thing I thought of when I saw Austin Theory, because, you know, people are still very upset about the stuff with Velveteen Dream. Hashtag Fire Velveteen Dream. I saw the sign that got in the Thunderdome, Fire Velveteen Dream. And now we have Austin Theory back on TV. I could just picture Triple H just to make people's heads explode. Like, putting the two of them together as a new tag team. We're going to put Theory and Dream. We're going to call them the Dream Theory. And we're going to make them a new tag team at NXT. Just to watch people's heads explode. But he was bragging about, you know, he was on the WrestleMania card this year. He's only 22 years old. And, you know, one day you'll make it. You'll be 55 years old, but you'll make it. And he got smacked by Bronson Reed. Just slapped the taste right out of the kid's mouth. But I think him being back in NXT as opposed to being on Monday Night Raw is the best thing for him. He's a young guy. He's 22, 23 years old. What do you have to rush these guys up for? You know? Keith Lee's been doing this for a while, and Karrion Kross, we'll see where he lands. But I wouldn't call those young guys. But Austin Theory, he's a young guy. There's no need to rush them to the main roster. So NXT, really, for him to be back there, don't rush them to their doom. You know, this is probably the best possible outcome that this kid could have asked for, is being back on the NXT roster. Dream Theory, though, I do think that there's potential there as a tag team. I just came up with that on the spot. Dream Theory. Could always use some new tag teams. But it would piss a lot of people off. Mia Yim. Mia Yim against Shotzi Blackheart. It was supposed to be Mia Yim against Mercedes Martinez. Robert Stone came out, said that after what happened last week with Rhea Ripley powerbombing Mercedes Martinez on the concrete, she wasn't coming out for her match tonight. That was a no-go. As he's talking, Shotzi Blackheart drives up behind him and runs him over in her tank. She runs over his leg. This woman keeps running this guy over. It's about time we get the cops involved here. So she took out Robert Stone. He got taken to the back. And Shotzi took the place of Mercedes Martinez. She said, I want the match. And so she got the match instead. It was Shotzi Blackheart against Mia Yim. Pretty short. Mia went for a missile drop kick. Blackheart, though, cut her off. Hit a senton. Went up to the top rope for another giant senton and got the win. And they positioned this as something of an upset. This was kind of a shocking win. A big win for Shotzi Blackheart. And Vic Joseph on commentary made the comment and said that Mia Yim was oozing with frustration. I guess of all the things that you could ooze with, frustration isn't too bad. Me, I prefer machismo. If I'm going to ooze anything, but I'm an old school fan. So to me, yeah, you want to ooze machismo. I don't want to ooze, I don't need other things oozing out of me. I mean, that's just nasty. William Regal was conferenced earlier in the day with Triple H. Shawn Michaels looking A-OK after the punt kick from last week. And Matt Bloom. The camera had a shot of them in the conference room. They were discussing how to handle the NXT Championship situation. And they promoted before the break that coming up next, William Regal is going to be here to announce what the status is of the NXT title. So we come back and William Regal is in the ring. And William Regal, he has some very complimentary words to say about Karrion Kross. And he, you know, says that he's got a lot of respect for Karrion Kross. And Karrion Kross is going to he's going to come back and he's going to do fine. He'll be okay. But he says that in the meantime, we have to decide what we're going to do to crown a new NXT champion. And the decision is this. Next week is going to be a very special episode of NXT. They're calling it the Super Tuesday episode of NXT. This is now, and AEW did this a few weeks ago, right? With the Jericho Orange Cassidy debate. They kind of, I forgot the exact title. Was it Super Wednesday? I forgot. It was something very similar, right? They were playing off the whole political theme. So here NXT is doing the same thing now. Look, we have an election coming up, right? So of course they're going to play off the political theme. Super Tuesday. A Super Tuesday episode of NXT next week. And there's going to be a fatal four-way. There's going to be a fatal four-way with four of the greatest NXT champions in history. Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Finn Balor, and Adam Cole. They are going to be part of a fatal four-way match next week for the vacant NXT championship. But not just any old four-way match. Oh, no. This is not just a fatal four-way match. This is going to be the very first ever fatal four-way 60-minute Iron Man match. Whoa. That was my reaction. This is going to be an Iron Man match. That is a fucking main event. That is the sort of main event that you would have come to expect from the NXT of old. It's matches like this that really helped NXT garner the reputation that it had for so long. That's what this match reminds me of. This match right here represents what NXT should be. This is a big-time match with four big-time names. And we're guaranteed to have a new champion because the title is vacant. So we're guaranteed to have a new champion when the night is over. But that's as good of a match as you could expect. I mean, just look at that lineup. You know, Adam Cole, because they had different video packages throughout the rest of the show. And each guy was giving his thoughts on, what he thinks of the match next week. When they got to Adam Cole, he made the comment that this is like the Mount Rushmore of champions or of top, stars in NXT. And you could absolutely make that argument. Gargano, Ciampa, Balor, Cole. I'm sure there's other names people might throw in there, like an Adrian Neville or a Sami Zayn or a Samoa Joe or a Kevin Owens. But you could make the argument, everyone loves asking these Mount Rushmore questions, that this right here is the Mount Rushmore of NXT. And they're all going to be in the same match together next week. It's must-see TV. And I can't wait to watch it live. And I get to watch it live. That's the biggest thing. Usually I don't get to watch NXT live. Now I get to watch it live and talk about it next week with all of you as soon as it's over. This feels like a takeover match. This doesn't just feel like a TV main event. This feels like a takeover match. It will take up an entire hour of next week's show. And it kind of reminds me of Shawn Michaels, since we're talking about Shawn Michaels. Reminds me of Shawn Michaels losing his smile. I've got to go find my smile. Where is my smile? And surrendering the WWF title, and they had a Final Four match, which I think might have been the first ever four-way match we ever got on pay-per-view in WWE, for the vacant championship. Now, that was an elimination match. That's exactly where I thought this was going. I thought Regal was going to announce that it was going to be a Fatal Four-Way elimination match. I was not expecting the Iron Man stipulation. That blew me away. But it did remind me of that. So who wins? That's the question. I want everybody in the chat. Let me know. Who do you think is going to win this match next week? Who is going to walk away as the NXT champion? Because to me, there can only be two winners here. There can only be two possible outcomes. There's four men. Two of them to me are probably, I would say the two names that I have are the two names that would make the most sense, and really one or the other should walk away with the title. Tommaso Ciampa, who just came back. And with Ciampa, Ciampa never lost the championship. Remember, I made that point a little bit earlier. Ciampa never lost the title. He had to surrender it due to injury. And everybody's saying Finn Balor. Finn Balor went through the same thing, but Tommaso Ciampa went through it with the NXT title. He never lost it. Now he just came back. He's got this new mean streak about him. He wants Goldie back. Either Finn Balor wins or Tommaso Ciampa. Finn Balor or Tommaso Ciampa. Adam Cole getting the belt back. What does that accomplish? Adam Cole was the longest reigning NXT champion of all time. Adam Cole is probably going to be main roster bound soon enough. You know, let us pray for poor Adam Cole. Although I guess it doesn't work. We proved last week the power of prayer doesn't work, right? We did a little virtual prayer circle for Keith Lee at the end of... When I did my SummerSlam stream, remember we did a little virtual prayer circle for Keith Lee? So much for that, right? 24 hours later, so much for that. That didn't do shit. So I'm not going to bother with that. I'm just going to hope for the best. But Adam Cole does not need to get the NXT title back. And Johnny Gargano, you know, could he win? I guess he could, but I would not put the championship on Gargano either. It's got to be Balor or it's got to be Ciampa. And it really depends on, do they want the title on a babyface or a heel? Balor is really the only babyface in this match. And even Balor has been straddling that line where I'd call him more of a tweener than anything else. But kind of by default, he is the one sole babyface in this match. Ciampa is clearly a heel. Gargano's a heel. And Adam Cole is, to me, he's still a heel. Just because he beat Pat McAfee doesn't make him a babyface. So do you want the championship, you want the feel-good moment, and the title on the babyface, then you give it to Balor. Simple as that. If that's the direction they want to go in. I don't think that's the direction to go in, though. Necessarily. Again, I can make the argument for Tommaso Ciampa to take it next week. I wouldn't mind either guy. Honestly, I would not mind either guy walking away with it. But the thing is, Balor winning the championship could set up a singles match for TakeOver in October with Ciampa. And I kind of like that better. So I'm thinking Finn Balor wins the championship next week. But they can protect Ciampa, or they can set it up in the match next week. You know, they're neck and neck in terms of falls. Ciampa's ahead by one fall, whatever it is. 5-4, he's in the lead. And Balor ekes the win out by one fall in the last minute or two of the match. It could be a simple story like that. You know? So, Balor gets the championship. It sets up the singles match with Ciampa for TakeOver, whatever they're going to call it. TakeOver whatever. Maybe that's the name. TakeOver whatever. In October. I like that idea. That's probably that's probably the direction I would go in with it. That way you get that singles match set up, you know? And you get the championship on a heel, you know, later on. Maybe Balor ends up being a transitional champion. And just like Breezango probably will end up being, transitional tag team champions. So I'm going to go with Balor next week. In the chat, it looked like a lot of you were in agreement. But you can't go wrong with either one of those two guys. Yeah, can't go wrong with Tommaso Ciampa. Bobby AJ, thank you for the five. Right now, the NXT Championship is in a bad position. I cannot see anyone strong enough to be the champion. Cole and Lee beat everybody, and so now, what is next? Well, what's next is a fucking badass match, Bobby. Bobby AJ. Old Flicks Joe agreed with your top five horror movies, but curious if you agree with my next top five. Candyman, Hellraiser 2, Child's Play, The Descent, and Evil Dead 2. Does it make me a bad person if I say that I never saw any of the Evil Dead movies? Because I never did. Child's Play is great. Hellraiser, Candyman. Candyman's good. To me, that's not top five material, but it's not a bad list. Everybody's going to have their own list. Find that video on my channel from the other day and post a comment. I want to know what your top five is. What's your top five in terms of horror movies? Santos, and don't say Monday Night Raw, because that's obvious. Santos Escobar against Isaiah Swerve Scott for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. It's like Tony Chimmel used to announce Edge as the Rated R Superstar. I don't know why he did that, but that kind of became his thing. So this is for the Cruiserweight title. This is the best match on the show. It was a very good match. Shit finish. But obviously, it's playing into a story. But, you know, in a vacuum, for tonight, in terms of a match finish. They were having such a good match, and for it to end that way, it was pretty lame. I'll get to what happened here in a second. One of the highlights was Escobar was outside the ring, and Isaiah Swerve Scott busted out the old Fosbury flop out over the top rope, which is always a fun thing to see. Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza came out towards the end, trying to provide the distraction, which they did. One, you know, I think it was Wilde jumped up on the apron, distracted the referee. I believe it was Mendoza who grabbed hold of Scott's leg. And that distraction was good enough for Escobar to get a very close near fall. I thought the match was over, but it was not. Swerve came back, hit a deadlift German, and connected with another kick. Escobar kicked out. Swerve hit a driver, had the match won. Escobar at the last second got his hand on the bottom rope, or his foot. I think it was his foot, actually. Was it his foot or his hand? I don't remember now. He got one of his body parts on the rope. There, that's all you need to know. He broke the fall, and he bails out of the ring. And he reaches under the ring, and he grabs a lucha mask. And he puts the lucha mask on, and as Scott reaches out of the ring to bring him back inside, Escobar looks up, and he headbutts him. And Scott is out. And Escobar pins him 1-2-3, and I guess the story here is that it, you know, the old loaded glove gimmick, this was, I guess, the loaded mask gimmick. Clearly there was something, it wasn't a brick, but whatever it was, what someone's in the chat said it was his hand, thank you. He got his hand on the bottom rope. But whatever was in the mask, it knocked out Swerve Scott. I mean, William Regal should be proud. Remember the power of the punch? How many matches did Regal win with the brass knucks, right? The power of the punch. Escobar has the power of the mask. The power of the head. So he retains the Cruiserweight Championship. Lame finish, but a very good match. Kyle O'Reilly of Undisputed Era one-on-one against Drake Maverick. Drake went wild. He went nuts at the beginning, goes after O'Reilly. O'Reilly is, you know, he's cutting him off, and he's a little firebrand, is Drake Maverick. He's like a little bulldog. He doesn't give up. So Maverick is firing back, hits an enziguri, goes for a sliced bread. Kyle O'Reilly, though, grabs Maverick's leg, puts him in a leg lock, clamps down on it. He's trying to fight it. There's nowhere for him to go, and Drake Maverick has no choice but to tap out. Kyle O'Reilly wins. He is, after all, a submission specialist. And so we had Strong, Fish, and O'Reilly after the bell attacking Maverick and ganging up on the guy until Killian Dane runs out. Killian Dane comes out, and he sends Undisputed Era hightailing it out of there. So we have a stare down in the ring. We have a stare down with Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. And I thought, okay, we're going to get some kind of an odd couple pairing or an alliance or something. Nope. Killian Dane said, fuck you, and he clotheslined him and knocked him down, and that was it. So I don't know where this is going. Maybe in the end they will end up becoming buddy-buddy. And maybe that could even get over. But Killian Dane was not buddy-buddy with anybody here in this segment. He killed this guy dead. But I will tell you this much. I am all for Kyle O'Reilly getting more time as a single star. Not necessarily breaking up Red Dragon, but, you know, giving him more time in the ring as a single, I think that would be great. It's like Big E finally getting a singles push on SmackDown. That's been a long time coming. And I think Big E could be Intercontinental Champion. Could Big E be a world champion one day? Maybe. Maybe. I think his character would have to change, though, for him to really ascend to that next level. But, yeah, absolutely. Big E is finally getting a singles push, and hopefully he'll go far with it. He'll take the ball, and he'll go far. Kyle O'Reilly, I think, could also. I see him as one day being a great either NXT North American champion or a great Intercontinental champion. Mark my words. One day, Kyle O'Reilly, he's going to be a great North American or Intercontinental champion. I think he would be good in that spot. Adam, found you 6 months ago. Been hooked ever since. Appreciate your views on the sport that we all love. Stay safe. Much love from Wisconsin. Well, thank you, Adam. I appreciate that. Daryl Long with another donation here. And how weird would it be for black WWE stars to protest? Wouldn't be weird at all. I mean, New Day's been wearing T-shirts and armbands and stuff. That's kind of their form. I don't know if it's a protest, but that's their form of expression. So that wouldn't be weird at all. Would not be weird at all. And that brings us to our main event on this show. Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley taking on Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. This was designed to get Raquel Gonzalez over as a monster type. And to that end, I think they accomplished what they set out to do. She got to show off some of her moves here in this match. They treated her like a beast. She went into beast mode here in this match. And I thought that they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. They had her looking so strong that Rhea Ripley was the one reaching for the hot tag to Io Shirai. Rhea Ripley, who herself has kind of been built up as like a monster ripper in that women's division. And she was in there begging for the hot tag, which eventually she did make to Io. Io ran wild for a little bit. And there was a tag made. Referee did not see it, though. And so the referee told Rhea to get back out on the apron. And poor Io had to fend for herself a little bit more. Mercedes Martinez, who I thought they were keeping out because that was a pretty brutal powerbomb last week on TV. They were going to keep her out a little while longer. Nope, she was there. She yanked Rhea Ripley off the apron and she landed face first on top of the ring steps. 30 seconds later, she was back up on the apron. She tagged into the match and she lost. She lost for her team. She got slammed by Raquel Gonzalez. It's not a choke slam, but she has that slam where she'll pick you up and then just kind of put you down. So she hit Ripley with the slam and got the pin on Rhea. Big win for Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. This wasn't really even about Kai. It was all about Gonzalez. And here I thought a few weeks ago that they had basically cut bait on the act. We hadn't seen her on TV in a while. I have no idea why. I mean, we could speculate, but not only is she back with Dakota Kai, but she's getting a big push now. So that was the main event of this show. A show that overall I thought was very good. Very good. And they have hooked people in. I guess we'll find out when the numbers come out next week, but they have given us a very big hook for the show coming up next Tuesday. Truly one of the biggest matches in NXT history. You know, I cannot envision a scenario, given the four names involved in that match next week, these four going into the ring and having anything but an excellent match. It's impossible. It is a virtual impossibility to even think that these four, I cannot conceive that these four will get together in a match like this and not have a fantastic match. Whether it's the best or not is subjective, but they're going to have an excellent match next week. And the only question is who walks out with the championship. Is it Balor? Is it Ciampa? If it's anybody else, I'll be shocked. If it's Gargano, I'll be shocked. Let's see what you guys thought of the show tonight. What did you guys think of tonight's NXT show? That's a Twitter poll so far. 73.2% thumbs up. And we got 26.8% thumbs down. So, positive score. Go ahead and vote. We got over 900 people who have voted so far in the poll on Twitter, at Solomonster. You guys can let me know there what you think of the show as we roll on here. And I am taking calls. I know I forgot to put the number up, so my mistake. By the way, you could always find the phone number for those who don't know. I know it's always on screen, but it's always in the description down below. If you scroll down, I always put the number in there in case I forget to put it on screen for some reason. So, and the number never changes, right? The number never changes. So it's always, it's very easy to remember. 989-282-SOLO. Memorize that number. And you will never forget it. John Falchetta, the four-way is all heels. No, I don't think Balor's a heel anymore. I know he's been heelish. Balor is going to be the de facto babyface, just like he was with Timothy Thatcher at TakeOver. If that TakeOver show had taken place in front of an audience, Balor would have been cheered. So Balor is the de facto babyface in that match. Alex Garcia, do you think Imperium now goes back to NXT UK? Probably. JWD82, I think Cross should have a long run with the title until they have the next great face to beat him. Well, I mean, maybe he would have, but the injuries are a funny thing. Injuries could really wreak havoc with storylines, and it can change the direction of someone's career. So it could very well be a case where if he's going to be out for a couple of months, 3 months, when he comes back, if they have a need, maybe somebody on the main roster gets injured. Let's say they are going to bring him back to NXT, which is possible. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's not going to go to the Thunderdome, and maybe the plan is to bring him right back to NXT. And I guess plug him right back into the spot, but to me, I don't like that, because now you got Ciampa back. You know, if you're going to do something with Balor and Ciampa, if Ciampa gets the belt, you know, and now you're going to disrupt that just to put the belt back on Cross. So it could be a while before he gets that championship back. But let's say somebody on Raw or SmackDown goes down with an injury, and they have a big need to plug somebody in there. It becomes that much more likely we see somebody like a Karrion Kross called upon. They look at him and say, you know what, it's time. We need him. So anything can happen. I don't think it's a guarantee that he comes back to NXT at all. Nathan Caney of the first 60-minute Iron Man TV match since 2003. No, I think, didn't Triple H and Benoit have a 60-minute Iron Man match in 2004? I think they did. That would be the last one that I remember. Cube of the Goat, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, talent-wise? Tom Brady. Dude's got the rings. You can't deny that. And Noah Spaulding, Bo Dallas robbed of a spot in that match. You know what? I got to show love to Bo Dallas. You do make a good point. Bo Dallas had definitely won me over. I actually really liked Bo Dallas when he was doing his cornball shtick as the NXT champion. One of my all-time favorite segments on NXT was watching Bo Dallas get carried out kicking and screaming from the building. That's still, and he escaped. Remember they had him like in the golf cart or whatever, and he bit the guy and he went running, and you see him just like running off into the distance, and they come back later on. It's pitch black. It's like nighttime outside now, I think. And it's fucking hilarious shit. So I do miss that Bo Dallas in NXT. Bo Dallas was, he turned into a guilty pleasure of mine for sure. I do miss that. All right, let's take some calls here. Let's take some of your calls. Always making the show interactive for you on a Wednesday night. 407.
Oh, hello?
Hold on 1 second. I did forget one thing. We're going to take this one call. When we finish this call, put the calls back on hold. I do want to talk AEW for a second. So we are going to talk AEW. But go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Soul Monsters, this is David, his first time caller.
Hey, David.
Hey, I was wondering, do you think Triple H will be a little more cautious with the hotshot booking in the future, especially with what happened with Cross and Reed?
Well, when you say be careful with the hotshot booking, what do you mean exactly? Because this four-way we're getting next week, some people might say that that's hotshotting, but that's just, I mean, booking out of necessity because they have a new champion to crown. So what hotshot booking are you referring to?
I'm referring to the Great American Bash, where, you know, they gave Lee the title, all the titles, and then, he big head won, and then, you know, he only had, like, a month as a, like, he only defended it for a month. And then poor Cross, you know, he got injured, so...
I don't think it's going to change... Yeah, I don't think it's going to change... anything that they do, because they're going to probably just look at it and go, it's an injury, it's a freak injury, you know, things happen, and unless it becomes a pattern where guys start getting hurt because they're doing these big matches they otherwise wouldn't do, but hey, if Triple H is to be believed, they don't hotshot anything, right? That was going to be the plan all along, which he's full of shit. I mean, think about it. That arguably was the biggest match in NXT history, right? Winner take all, champion against champion, title for title. And you mean to tell me they're not going to hold off on doing that match until TakeOver the following month? He's full of crap.
Or with the fans, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, he's full of crap. But no, I don't think it's going to change.
Yeah, second question. With the advent of fans finally getting into Daly's place, Do you think AEW might pull the trigger on MJF if they have fans for All Out?
He could win. I don't think he's going to, and I wouldn't do it. I would keep the belt on Moxley a little bit longer, at least until the November pay-per-view. I would have him lose maybe to a heel Omega. I just, you know, I don't think the timing is right for MJF. You know, he's their young stud. He's going to be around for a long time, and he'll be the champion eventually. I just don't think now is the right time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I mean, he does seem green, even though he has, like, oh, God, every time I listen to him, I just want to, like, turn off the TV because that heals me. But, yeah, just want to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, again, right. I'll talk more about All Out probably next weekend, but I'm not expecting a title change, so.
All right, well, that's all I need to know. Have a good night, man.
Awesome, you too. Thanks for calling in. We have a first caller is a first-time caller. I love the first-time long times. They're always my favorite. So, yeah, before we get to more of the calls here, and I will take a few more, but I almost forgot. So AEW is tomorrow night. AEW is not airing on Saturday this week. I want to remind everybody who may still be confused by this, because they aired on Saturday. Now they're going to be airing tomorrow. It'll be a one-time only Thursday. Actually, not one time, but it'll be a Thursday airing this week. Same time on TNT, 8 p.m. tomorrow night. This is the lineup for tomorrow's show. They've got Chris Jericho back on commentary. We've got a contract signing between Jon Moxley and MJF for their championship match at All Out. Tables match, which is surprising that they're not holding out until All Out for this, but Sammy Guevara against Matt Hardy. Brody Lee will have his TNT championship celebration. TNT title changed hands on Saturday night. Brody Lee squashed Cody like a bug. He destroyed Cody. In 3 minutes, he Brock Lesnar'd Cody and won the TNT title. They did this heavy injury angle after. Not only did they take out Cody, they took out Cody's brother. They took out Cody's trainer, Arn Anderson. They took out Cody's wife, Anna Jay, put her to sleep. This is a big-time angle with the Dark Order on Saturday night. And they're promising an update on Cody's condition. He is going to be out for a while, it sounds like. I believe the reason is he's going to be filming a role on this new wrestling-themed TV show on the Starz channel called Heels, which is set in the world of independent wrestling. And they begin production on the show next month. Stephen Amell has a starring role on the show. Stephen Amell, of course, I think he's the lead. Stephen Amell and Cody, they've been tight for a very long time. They worked together, in fact, a match in WWE when Cody was Stardust. So they've been friends for a very long time. And that, I believe, is why they did the angle. And that's why Cody had to drop the belt. And he's going to be off television for a while. Obviously, he will not be at the All Out pay-per-view. And but they'll give us the medical update on Cody Rhodes on tomorrow night's show. Big Swole is in a handicap match against Dr. Britt Baker, which would be her first match since suffering that knee injury all those many weeks ago. So JC Zephyr says, wasn't Cody on Arrow? He was, that's right. That was the Stephen Amell show, and Cody was on Arrow as well. But Big Swole takes on Britt Baker, Penelope Ford, and Rebel in a handicap match. And that should lead to the singles match between Britt Baker and Big Swole at All Out, which is next weekend, by the way. Next Saturday. And the big attraction on the show tomorrow night is a tag team gauntlet to determine the number one contenders for Kenny Omega and Hangman Page's championships at All Out. It starts with the Natural Nightmares. Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall, they take on the Young Bucks. The winners of that match, the Bucks, will take on Best Friends. And the winner of that match will then battle FTR, which will hopefully not be the Young Bucks, because I think that would be really dumb to give the first meeting away between the Bucks and FTR. In a random, like, final leg of a gauntlet on an episode of Dynamite, that would be stupid. But FTR, they're like the final bosses here. They should win this thing, and not against the Bucks. I think the Bucks win. If I had to predict, the Bucks will beat the Natural Nightmares. The Best Friends will get kind of the shocking win, and then FTR beat Best Friends. FTR challenges Hangman and Omega at All Out. And that's where they do the title change. FTR become the tag team champions before the Young Bucks do. And either the split happens or it's the beginning of the split between Hangman and Omega. That would be my prediction about how this goes. So that is Dynamite tomorrow night. I'm going to be back. I'm not ending yet. Don't worry. But I'm going to be back with you live again, so you know, tomorrow night. So after Dynamite at 10 p.m., come right back here to the YouTube channel, and we'll do this all over again. We'll talk AEW Dynamite tomorrow night. So I wanted to make sure I got that in before I forget. So let us go to 520.
Hey, what's up, Jason?
Who am I talking to?
Andrew.
What's going on, Andrew?
Not much. I was just wondering, with the recent news of not to make it political.
Because I know that there may be questions. If it's about the NBA stuff, I don't want to talk about any of that stuff. If it has anything to do with that, if it's an AEW question, that's
right,
fine.
Let's
keep it focused tonight.
I was just wondering, like, for next week's Dynamite, would it stay on Thursday or go back to Wednesday, depending on how it goes?
Well, I mean, Wednesday's their night, so I can't, I mean, unless they go on television tomorrow night and they get like 2 million viewers, which I cannot see, unless it's something radical like that, Wednesday's their night. So they're not going to change. Put it this way. I think there's a better chance that NXT will eventually move to another night before AEW ever does. So I don't see them changing nights.
But, no, I think just what I meant by that was, like, depending on how long the walk-offs last.
Yeah, but they don't know. So, I mean, they don't know. It's hard. I mean, it may not last long at all, or it may last a few weeks, but it's not going to be forever. So to me, to make like a permanent move to another night it's an impulse thing. I would not do that. If it's a temporary thing, it's stupid because people are creatures of habit. And so if you have a show on a particular night, you can't just be like, all right, well, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to move to another night to take advantage of the situation. And then we'll just go back to where we were. That's not how TV works. You know, I mean, that's just not how it works. So to answer your question, I don't see it happening. I don't. And, so there you go. But even though I kind of answered a different question, just to go back to the point that I made, again, if any show is going to move at some point, make a permanent move of the two, I think it would be NXT. I could see NXT being the show eventually to move to a Thursday or a Tuesday. And there are people who will say, well, NXT was in the spot first. Yeah, but NXT is the one losing every week. So if NXT moves to Tuesday next week, and let's say NXT pulls 1 million viewers, if you're USA Network or if you're WWE, you need to tell me you're not looking at that going, you know what? Maybe we ought to consider, you know, moving to a different night. It could happen. 504.
What up, Solomon Monster?
What's going on, my friend? Are you down there in the bayou?
Yeah, I'm in Louisiana, here in New Orleans.
Well, I hope you're in a safe place, because it sounds like things might be getting a little scary out there.
Yeah, I'm in my house. So, I mean, that's the only thing that's protecting me.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but I thought NXT was pretty good tonight. And I looked at the main event, and I said, Raquel really, really impressed me a lot. And do you think – now, I just have a question. Do you think are they building Mercedes Martinez up for Io Shirai for the NXT Women's Championship?
Well, I think what they're doing first is they're building her for a match with Rhea Ripley. And then I would imagine whoever comes out the winner there would be next in line for a title shot. And how that goes, that's interesting. That's an interesting question, because Rhea has made it clear that she wants the next shot. To me, it's almost beneath her. I know I say this about a few different NXT people, but I feel like she would just be such a big help to, for example, the women's division on SmackDown, or really either women's division. So I just see her future in the not-too-distant future. She's going to be off NXT. So this is the time to build up someone like a Mercedes Martinez and give us a match we've not seen with Io and Mercedes, maybe at the next TakeOver show. But I think that's going to be the match first, and whoever wins probably then gets the match with Io.
Right, right. Also, I have an AEW question, and again, I'm thinking about the women's division, which I think could use some help, and I was wondering, do you think they should get someone like a Lufisto, who I think would benefit a lot for that women's division?
Well, she retired, didn't she? I think she retired.
No. From what I heard, she didn't.
I was of the impression that she did, unless she had a change of heart.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I think she did have a change of heart.
Okay, it's possible. I didn't hear that.
Mm-hmm. And I want to end it with this, Solomon Monster. You are probably the best that I've ever heard every Sunday and every live stream. You're one of the reasons why, like, I got into podcasting. And I think you're a great influence, man. And all I could say is just thank you for being honest about what you watch. And I always like your jokes and everything. But you are an inspiration to me, man. I just wanted to call in and just say thank you for inspiring me to get into podcasting.
Well, I appreciate that. I actually just got an email earlier today from somebody who made a similar comment, and they wanted advice, like, as an aspiring podcaster, do you have any advice? And so I mentioned this now just because if anyone's listening, this is a good time to mention. I had answered a question during the mailbag on episode 562. So if anybody has questions like that, I always just now direct them to that episode. I did a whole segment on that as far as just advice. Like if you're starting a podcast or a YouTube show, here's my advice on what I would suggest doing and starting out. So it's always cool to hear messages like that or get phone calls like that. So it means a lot. I appreciate that, man. I really do.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, I've been listening to a lot of wrestling podcasts, and I think you stand out the best, bro.
Thank you. Well, I mean, some of these WWE shows, what I put myself through. I love hearing that. At least I know it's not for nothing. My God. Have you seen some of these shows lately?
Yeah, I mean, I have, man. And like, don't even get me started with Monday Night Raw. Ugh.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, we'll wait until Sunday for that. I'll have more to say on that.
All right, bro. I'm looking forward to it. But good night, Salamanca. I'm going to try and stay safe. And all I can hope for is that this hurricane can go away. So,
yeah.
I'm going to just rest my eyes out.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it weakens or takes a different turn or something, but it's always, this is that time of year. I mean, you know, you don't need me to tell you, this is that time of year, and it's probably not going to be the last one. Yep. So hopefully you guys down there stay safe.
Oh, we will, man. We will.
Awesome.
But thanks for taking my call, man.
Thanks for calling in. Yeah, the hurricane stuff is, we just had one. I think it weakened, right, last week or whatever, into a tropical storm, and now coming up the rear, here comes another one, and this one, they're talking about it making landfall at a Category 4, and man, you start hearing stuff like that, that is scary stuff. And here in New York, I mean, we really don't have that issue a lot, but we had the issue with Hurricane Sandy, you know, many years ago. So, you know, even up here in New York, you get a bad enough storm, it almost doesn't even matter where you are, unless you're like way, way up there. That was kind of our experience, and that was, I mean, there were a lot of homes around, even where I am, that maybe in the last couple of years are only first kind of digging out from that storm. So it's scary stuff. There's no doubt about it. Austin Baker, thank you for the $2. Ziggler versus Rollins. Remember the crowd chanting 10-1. I don't. Which match was that? I know they had a series of matches. I don't remember which specific match that was. Naif Al-Safar. What's going on, Naif? Part of our PayPal family. Dropping some super chat. Mark W., the Fatal 4-Way next week should be fire. I believe it would be the first 60-minute Iron Man match since 2009 with Cena and Orton in the first Fatal 4 Iron Man in WWE ever. It is. It is the first Fatal 4-Way Iron Man ever in WWE, maybe anywhere, but in WWE. I do remember that Orton-Cena match. I liked that Orton-Cena-Iron Man match. I don't know that everybody did. I actually liked the I Quit match at, oh gosh, what was that? They did that pay-per-view once, Breaking Point. Back-to-back Orton-Cena pay-per-view matches in 2009 I thought were very good. But I think in terms of TV, I don't remember the last time we got a 60-minute Iron Man match since Triple H and Benoit. So if I'm wrong, then refresh my memory in the chat. On TV, 60 minutes, not 30. I can't think of another one since then. Robert Heller, think Cross is back in time for the Rumble and dominates the Rumble and wins. And Zealous Zombie 01. Karrion Kross was unimpressive at the last takeover. Ruthless Aggression throwback in the worst sense. Now, so you're comparing him to Luther Reigns or Nathan Jones. I think that's a little extreme. He's not a mat technician. But, you know, as far as looking at a guy and just thinking that, you know what, this guy can be a star, I look at this guy and I think this guy can be a star. Because he has that look about him. He's got the valet. He's got the fire entrance. He can talk. He doesn't have to be the best wrestler. He's got to wrestle. If you're going to put him in main events, then there's a certain, I think, caliber of main event that people have come to expect. I agree. He has to work to try to, you know, hang with guys who maybe are better than him in a 15-minute match. That I'll agree with. He's not the best wrestler in the world. But in ring, he doesn't have to be the best in ring. You know, he has to just get the job done. He doesn't have to be the best. If he has all of these other attributes, they can market him and make a ton of money off this guy. And Scarlett. Believe me, Scarlett is a big part of that act as well. I'm not fooling myself there. Let's go to 347. You are on the air.
Hey, Jason, what's going on? It's James, man, a.k.a. Casanova King, live from Brooklyn. You already know.
Hey, Casanova King, what's going on?
What's going on, man? Tonight's show was pretty good, man, I have to say. I guess the tag, you never seen it coming, still lives on even after SummerSlam.
NXT does it better than the main roster does in terms of that whole you'll never see it coming thing.
Apparently, you know, I keep with the Keith Lee thing on Raw. Just one question. Why did they put a shirt, like a really, really tight shirt on him in that weird skirt and the stupid music? Like, they already screwed the pooch with him already.
Yeah, I'm going to talk more about that on Sunday. He tweeted about it and said, calm down, take a breath. I'm going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. It almost sounds like he's going to just go backstage and, like, beat somebody's ass. But, look, I think long-term he'll be fine. But in terms of a debut, you know, they say...
Oh, yeah, of course.
You only get one chance to make a good first impression. For all the people who knew him already or watch NXT and know who he is, I don't know, just imagine somebody who doesn't know who Keith Lee is. They don't remember that he was in Survivor Series and he was in the Royal Rumble. And they look at him... And what he was wearing, I mean, obviously there was some heads up on this because his name was on his gear. So someone made that for him. I don't know if that was his idea or maybe it was. But yeah, it was not a good look. And I hope they get that shit fixed very, very quickly.
Immediately. I think Vince definitely was like, we can't have him with his shirt off. He's not fit. That was definitely a Vince call.
They have Otis.
There's no way.
They have Otis, for God's sakes. Wait, that doesn't mean anything. Oh. Yeah, you have Otis. Come on now. I don't buy that.
I don't know.
Then why is Vince on TV? Anyway, 75 years old. Did you see him on Friday night? Looked like fucking Uncle Creepy out there. Why should he be on TV? He scared the shit out of me when I took a look.
Looking
in HD? Yeah, Vince McMahon in 4K HD. I don't need to be seeing that.
Vince was more of the Fiend than the Fiend himself. He was that scary looking.
Well, he wasn't afraid of the Fiend. You notice that. Vince McMahon, everyone's afraid of the Fiend. Vince McMahon was just like, all right, really? You going to let me out of the ring? Really? He didn't
biggest grapefruits yeah. in the wrestling. You heard him.
Yeah, he didn't seem bothered.
Anyway, tonight, the show tonight was really good. I was pleasantly surprised about the fit because I was with you. I thought they was going to do an elimination.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I heard him say he was going to do an Iron Man match, I was like, what? 60 minutes before the, like, four wrestlers who can work their tail off? That's going to be balls to the wall action.
The only thing is, it's my only criticism, and it has nothing to do with these four or the story or anything, is one of the things that really annoys me with these shows sometimes are the placement of the commercial breaks. And so however many commercials we normally get in an hour of NXT, it's going to just, you know. I had the same issue with the Kurt Angle Brock Lesnar one on SmackDown in 03, which I thought was an excellent match, but there's a reason why generally Iron Man matches, when they do them, you know, more often than not are not on TV. So I think you'll have people who are kind of annoyed by that, and it may break up the momentum of the match a little bit, but if they can work around that, this match is going to be off the charts next week.
Do you think that Vince will pay for an hour for no commercial breaks?
No. He could if he wanted to, or the network could step in and do it. They've done the whole commercial-free gimmick a few times before. I would like for them to. I think that would be awesome, but no, I don't think they're going to do it.
I really hope they do, because like you said, that's going to kill the momentum. And speaking of momentum, I hope for a speedy recovery for Karrion Kross, man, because that absolutely sucked that he had to vacate it so quickly as fast as he got it. It just sucks, man. It's Finn Balor all over again for me. It just took the wind out of his sails, and I don't know what's the timetable for him coming back, but I doubt, like I'm like you, I doubt he'll come back to NXT if it takes any longer. He might just come back at the Rumble or at something. But he's definitely not coming back to NXT. No way.
Yeah. There's a chance. It could. I won't say no way. But I'm just thinking, again, if I'm Vince McMahon and I look at this guy and I look at this woman with him and the whole presentation of it and everything, why do I not want that on SmackDown or Raw? Like, it just, you know, it just seems to me he's been the NXT champion. You know, Kevin Owens, when he was in NXT, how long was he there? Kevin Owens was there maybe 8 months, if that long. I mean, there are guys who come in. There are some guys who come in and they don't spend very long in NXT. There are some guys who completely bypass, like AJ Styles did. They completely bypass NXT. So, Karrion Kross.
Kevin Owens did both shows.
For a while.
Both shows at one point.
Yeah, for a while, until he dropped the belt. He did it for about a month and a half, I think. So, he came in. He established himself. He's unbeaten. He was the champion. If they wanted to move him, he's done it all. So, yes, I think that I'm in agreement. He'll probably come back in the Thunderdome.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Anything else, Casanova? Can
you... You know what?
You're like the ultimate warrior. You're like the ultimate warrior when he made his Nitro debut. He was supposed to have like a 4-minute segment, and he went 27, and he took up all this television time, and they had to reconfigure the whole show. You're like the warrior back then. You got to hit your time cues, man. You got to know when to make the exit.
And that's what I'm. This is my cue to leave. Take care.
All right. Have a good one. Casanova King, man. Now we're gonna have to bump a match from the show. Now, two guys are not gonna get a payday because we went long there in that segment. It's true, by the way. The Ultimate Warrior, when he debuted on WCW Monday Nitro. I don't remember if it was 5 minutes or how long the original segment was supposed to be. And he went like 27 minutes. It's like, Bischoff talked about it, I think, recently on his podcast. Or so I heard, because I don't listen. Magician Sapphire with the $10. Was it mentioned how long Karrion Kross will be out for? No, which is probably an ominous sign. I mean, the fact that he had to give up the belt is an ominous sign. Because if they thought he would be back in a few weeks, he would not have dropped that championship. I would say that if he was told that he was going to be out for up to a month, then there's no reason to take the title off him. Because he could still make appearances. He doesn't have to defend the title on TV. Even 6 weeks, I think you could push it. You could probably have kept the belt on him. But The fact that he had to surrender it tells me that unless the decision's already been made, that we're just going to call him up anyway. That it's we're probably looking at two and a half, 3 months. I mean, that's just a guess on my part. Maybe we'll find out later in the week. Maybe it'll be in one of the newsletters. We shall see. Let's do a couple more. Let us go to 304.
Hey, fellow monster, it's Noah who donated earlier about Bo Dallas.
Hey, Noah.
So I really enjoyed the show. My only thing that I have a problem with is depending on who wins the NXT title match, which I am very excited for, I don't know who really faces the champion unless with NXT UK coming back, maybe they can bring Pete Dunne back in and you can do a match with him and the champion. I don't really see where they go with it from there.
As far as what specifically?
Just like whoever wins the belt, because I don't really see any really credible contenders outside of those four guys. I will say I do like that the four guys that have been like at some point intermittently like entwined together, like Balor turned on Gargano, and then Gargano and Ciampa have been feuding for years, and then Cole's been feuding with all of them at one time.
Yeah, it's very.
It just feels like
it feels like a very incestuous, if that's the right word, incestuous relationship that these guys have where they're keeping it in the family and it doesn't really leave that little circle of guys. So, yeah, they got to bring some new faces in there. Damian Priest, he has the North American title. I guess they're positioning Bronson Reed and Thatcher. Don't forget, you know, we don't know where or when Dexter Lumis may come back. And Dexter Lumis was getting a big push until he got hurt. I don't think he broke anything. So maybe in a few weeks we'll get him back on TV. And then coming out of this match or the next takeover, maybe they go with Dexter Lumis. They're going to give him the big push and have him challenge, you know, for the title. So they have people there they could go with if they want to. Pete Dunne, I think they would bring him back if they could. The only reason they haven't is because the travel stuff. He's not able to come. So there's really not a whole lot I think they could do about that.
There's always one guy they can bring in. All they have to do is Bo leave.
Or as V. Joe in the chat said, Cameron Grimes. How could I forget? Yes, there is always Cameron Grimes.
He's going to take it to the moon.
Yeah. No, but you got to do it. Look, if you're going to do it, you got to do it the right way. Okay? If you're going to do Cameron Grimes, you got to do it the right way. You got to put the hat on.
Oh, goodness.
You got to put the friggin' hat on here. All right? This doesn't work with headphones, by the way. I'm going to take these off. Hold on. If you're going to do this, do it the right way. You got to do that. You got to grab your shirt. You got to go, Cam! Grimes, and you got to do it the right way, right? Yeah. So Cameron Grimes. By the way, if you want me to wear that hat, I will happily wear that hat. I'll save it for the big super chats. we'll save that for like the we'll save that for the 15 above. Anybody who donates that going forward in the future, I'll put the hat on and do the freaking Cameron Grimes if you want me to. But yes, Cameron Grimes. I almost forgot about him. He could very well be in contention as well. So there's options. They have options available.
Very true. I do think it's really interesting with Cameron Grimes how, like, he was only the runner-up in the breakout tournament just a few years ago, and now he's in such a prominent spot where he kind of disappeared after that tournament. I can't help but wonder where ACH would be in NXT if none of that controversy had happened. He'd probably have been in that NXT ladder match this past weekend.
Probably. I don't know if he would have won. I mean, I could see him maybe as a North American. Honestly, probably he'd be with Swerve and, you know, King Cuerno, and I keep calling him King Cuerno, but, you know, Escobar and them. He'd probably be wrestling for the Cruiserweight title. That's probably where he would be.
I wouldn't doubt that. They do kind of just like, if you do flips, you're in the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
One thing, while the Power of the Punch was a good call-out, I've been watching a lot of old Mid-South stuff, and I cannot think of who it was. I think it was Paul Orndorff. They had a loaded mask that they would headbutt people with in Mid-South. So So that could have been a callback to that because of NXT's love of old school wrestling.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. I don't recall that, though. I don't recall that gimmick. So I don't know if it was Orndorff or who it would have been. But like the loaded glove or the loaded, we've seen loaded purse, the loaded whatever. I mean, Scott Hall would come out, he was just loaded. But I mean, in terms of like loaded weapons and stuff, we've seen that gimmick in wrestling for generations. So it's not all that uncommon.
Oh, goodness. The loaded edge from Scott Hall.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, Solo Monster, thank you for your time. I really appreciate everything you do. You bring a lot of entertainment. I am very excited to hear your thoughts on the Keith Lee stuff on Sunday.
Yes, I will be getting into that and a lot more for a Raw show that I thought was garbage. So you have that to look forward to on Sunday. And another pay-per-view. I'm going to be doing payback predictions because Sunday night we have another pay-per-view. So how about that?
Oh, God, we do, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I will be here. Don't worry. I will be here to cover it all.
Oh, thank goodness. Well, Solo Monster, you have a great night, man.
Thank you. You too. You take care. That's right. Oh, yes. We have one more pay-per-view this month. We're not done with the month of August just yet. We have payback on Sunday. Payback for me. At least I enjoy doing the stream, so I don't look at it, no matter how bad the show is. If the show is good, we get to come on and talk about what a great pay-per-view it was. If the show was like Hell in a Cell last year, then you're going to see my head explode. Isn't that fun? All the classic rants and everything that I went, like Hell in a Cell last year, I wasn't even on camera for that. Imagine if I was on camera, you would have seen my head pop off my shoulders. So you may have something to look forward to this Sunday. Let's play some catch-up here with these Super Chats. We have a couple more. And we're going to wrap up shortly, so if you want to get them in, now would be the time to do it. Naima Khan, Triple H will make Adam Cole champion again. Anything to stop him from going to Raw or SmackDown? Well, unfortunately, I don't think that's going to stop them. So if he makes him the NXT champion, they'll just call him up anyway. And it won't really make a difference. And Jackalope Music with the thumbs up. Always in a happy mood. Always with the emoticons, the emojis. So thank you, Jackalope. I appreciate it. Let's see. Ooh, my goodness. We are all jammed up. We are all jammed up. So let's go to 631.
Hey, Solo Monster. How's it going?
It's going well. We're winding down tonight, so you got in as one of the final calls here.
Hey, awesome. I got two questions
so excited
for you.
Sure.
Yeah. they're short. Do you think, I'm pretty sure they furloughed Nigel McGuinness. Now with NXT UK coming back, do you think they're going to bring him back?
I think he'll be on NXT UK. Yeah, I mean, he's still under contract. I don't know why they wouldn't use him for NXT UK.
Okay. Because I wouldn't know if Barrett is staying. I don't know if they would want to have two British guys on the U.S. show.
No, I mean, you're not going to have both of them. So, to me, if Barrett does well, which I think he did tonight, and he'll be on the show next week, I don't know if he's committed to anything beyond that, but I love him in that role. But I was watching when he was doing that on NWA Power. So I've been a fan of his commentary for a while now. I like Nigel, but I'll be perfectly fine if they just keep Nigel on NXT UK and put him to work there. And let Barrett do his thing, hopefully with Mauro. And Vic Joseph can either be the third man, or you can plug him in somewhere else.
Okay. I have one more question. Mm-hmm. It's about Raw Underground. I mean, I know it's kind of on shaky legs right now, but with Raw Underground, if like you said in on Sunday show like 2 weeks ago, if they start building up some of these guys that we don't know about really that much, like Babatunde and Atua Huas, since like Drew basically has nobody to fight besides like maybe like Aleister Black, Randy Orton, potentially Keith Lee. Would you see some of the Raw Underground guys getting built up and being challengers for Drew as to, like, buffer until the next big opponent for him? Like, maybe, like, a Dabo Kato versus a Drew McIntyre on a throwaway pay-per-view or something like that.
Oh, that sounds terrible. Daba Kato.
It does.
Daba Kato, my God.
I don't even believe this.
Oh, no.
I mean, don't believe it myself, but I don't want
Oh, man. I'm not even saying you're wrong. I mean, obviously, they're pushing these guys for a reason, right? I mean, and that big guy, mm-hmm. who's the big guy who's the bodyguard for Shane? He stands outside the door. What's his name? We know his name?
No, I know he's an NXT trainee.
He
but
does.
He was like Tozawa's big ninja one week.
Yes, yes, that's right. I just can't remember his name. But like,
yeah.
No, please. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see
that. Yeah. Maybe it is, but I got
flashbacks of the Kali days on SmackDown.
Well, I hope those days are long past us.
Yes, I hope so too. Let us hope we do not get Daba Kato against Drew McIntyre for the WWE title.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for taking my call, and I can't wait for the show tomorrow. I mean, it should be interesting.
Yeah.
After what happened on Saturday.
Yeah, that was a hell of an angle they closed with. So I'm between that and the tag team gauntlet they're doing, I'm expecting a good show tomorrow night.
Yeah. That and the Eddie Kingston thing. I'm very interested
yes.
to see where that goes. But
yes,
anyway,
that's right.
Thanks for taking my call and see you tomorrow.
Awesome. We'll see you then. That's right. Eddie Kingston now is apparently going to have his own group, which is awesome. That is a great role for Eddie Kingston. Leading his own gang of renegades in AEW. I can get behind that. I can get behind an Eddie Kingston. I could get behind Eddie Kingston, not even wrestling, just coming on TV every week and cutting promos, getting some FaceTime on camera, you know, getting other people over, cutting promos for them. That's where he really shines. That's where his strong suit is. Casanova King is continuing to, he's the Triple H now of this stream. He wants to steal the spotlight from everybody else. It'd be like me coming to his locker room and Casanova King opens the door and he looks at the script for the sound off this week. He goes, am I going over? Am I fucking going over? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, then we have nothing to discuss. And he slams the door in my face. It's a real story, by the way. He says, apologies for the long phone call. Forgot to mention that tomorrow is my birthday, the big 3-1. Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday to Daba Kato, Jesus Christ, to Casanova. I don't know when Daba Kato's birthday. I got Daba Kato on my brain. But congratulations. Happy birthday. I hope you have a good day. You can celebrate your birthday, by the way, with yours truly. You can watch Dynamite. You can come join here. We'll have a big birthday party for Casanova King tomorrow night. Evan Watson, big fan since 2013. I love the 1992 Royal Rumble. I think you got good taste. And Robert Heller, will next week's show be live or is it going to be taped? I'm almost positive it's going to be taped. I don't know that for a fact, but I believe it's going to be taped. So let's hope that one of the IndoShare guys doesn't go ahead and post a fucking picture on his goddamn Instagram like he did last time. Spoiled the result of the Keith Lee-Adam Cole match before it aired on TV. 347.
Hey, Solomuster, this is Travis McCoy, a.k.a. Brooklyn Brawler.
Travis! It's Travis,
hey.
Who normally I see at the House of Glory shows, but now there's no shows for the time being, so I don't see Travis. So now he calls into the stream. What's going on, man?
Oh, good, man, good. It's been a while, man. I've been trying to call for, like, the last year, but it's always busy.
Yeah, I know. Your phone is, it's skipping. It sounds like you're underwater or something.
Oh, no, not now. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Can you still hear me right now?
I can hear you, but let's get the question in before I can't.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I think I already know who could be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Like, they can into the Hall of Fame. It's going to be either Vince Russo or Shawn Michaels.
Well, you know what? That's actually very clever. The Shawn Michaels one is very clever because how many titles has he lost by giving him up instead of losing him?
Yeah. He made me believe that he lost his smile. Like, I was like, oh, my God.
Well, I never believed that. I thought he was full of shit even back then.
yeah. He was he was quite the actor, man. And now I look back at it, I'm like, man, I'm a fool. Like, why did I believe this guy?
Well, you were naive. You were a naive young man, and I had to school you and teach you why you were wrong.
Thank you. Oh my God, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, for those who don't know, by the way, we had a Halloween meetup. Was it last year or the year before? I feel like it was 2018, but
It feels like 2018. Yeah.
Was it? I think it was. But we had I decided to have like a little Halloween meetup, and we had it at a bar when those things actually were open. In Manhattan, we had one in the city, and we had a good number of people who came out dressed up. I dressed up as the Macho Man, Macho Monster. That was me. I had my Slim Jims. I was giving Slim Jims out to people. And then I turn around and I see this guy, and it's the Brooklyn Brawler. Now, I don't remember the Brooklyn Brawler being this tall, but I turn around and there's the Brooklyn Brawler who's dwarfing me, and he's got the beret, and he's got you have the cigar, I think, right, and the white shirt, so... I was very impressed by your. we almost had the Brooklyn Brawler against the Macho Man in the middle of this Irish pub or whatever, wherever the hell we were, in the middle of Manhattan.
Oh, that was awesome! Good times, man. I wish we could go back to that after this year, man.
I know. Halloween's coming up. It's my favorite holiday, and I'm just pissed, because it's just a lost holiday this year. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, Jason, is good. It's good. Yeah, it's okay. All right. So, yeah, man, it was good hearing from you, man. I'll definitely call back in the future.
Yeah.
Hello, Monster.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the bro that I hear there in the background?
Yeah. That's Trevor. Yeah. He just came in.
Well. He finally shows his face. I always see you at the shows. I never see him. He's always like big shotting. He's big shotting me. He's too good to show up at some of these shows.
He's Sid. Trevor's Sid. Like,
So he's playing softball. He's playing softball all the time instead of coming to the wrestling shows.
How dare you, Trevor?
Terrible. All right, listen. I'm glad. Tell him to pipe down back there. I want you to call in again soon, preferably on a different phone if you could. And we'll talk again soon.
Okay, definitely. All right. Good talking with you, man.
All right. Awesome. Take care. Travis is a good guy. Travis is a good guy. He's just a fun guy to hang out with. And always when we would do the House of Glory shows and I'm there early getting ready to do commentary, it's always fun. I do miss that. Hopefully we'll be back to that soon enough. And you get to the show, getting ready to do commentary. Me and JD, we do the commentary for the shows. And I'm looking, and there he is. There's Big Travis sitting in the seats, going over, having a conversation. I miss that. I miss the face-to-face interaction with people. But what are you going to do? You can't do it right now. Chris, with the Boombox Brock. We got the Boombox Brock super chat. Said, Roman. That was great. Oh, I wish I could put that back on screen. Shit. He said, Roman Reigns found Shawn Michaels' smile. Indeed, he did. Roman Reigns showed up at SummerSlam, and he found Shawn Michaels' smile. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. Let's do... Oh, boy. We are all jammed, but I'll tell you what. Let's do 407.
Dollar Monster, it's Alex, the Florida man, once again.
Hey, Alex.
How are you, man? How are you? You know what's funny? You know what's really funny? Not that long ago, I super chatted you and asked you about Keith Lee singing his own theme song.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just disappears.
Well, I blame you. It's your fault. You shouldn't have brought that up. You jinxed it.
Oh.
But, everybody who's upset, in case if you really do like this guy's theme music, and it's catchy, it's a good theme song, it's on Spotify. So it's not like you can't listen to it. Go on Spotify, and I'll tell you what, when he comes to the ring, unless he has the music back on Sunday in time for his match with Randy Orton, which I don't think he will, when he comes out, mute the audio, which you should be doing anyway, because their commentary is fucking horrendous. Mute the audio. And just play his music from Spotify. And there you go. You'll have Keith Lee's old theme music. And then when he gets to the ring, you can put the sound back on.
For Paul,
Yeah, there you go.
But Thomas, I can't listen to it on Spotify. I'm too busy listening to you on Spotify.
Well, when you're done listening to me, smartass, when you're done listening to me on Spotify, you can cue up Keith Lee's theme music. You could do two things. You could do them both. But listen to me first. Then you can listen to the music.
All right, so I got a couple quick questions for you.
All right, make them quick.
So, okay, so Cross, he hasn't been up too long, but already he deserves it. But he skyrocketed to that NXT championship.
Mm-hmm.
And it does remind me a lot of how they kind of skyrocketed the Fiend to the Universal Championship. What do you think of this trend of guys, you know, of badass characters coming in with cool entrances, but immediately becoming champion?
I'm not really a fan of it. I just don't like it. It's one thing if you have a guy who comes in like a storm coming in and, you know, sets the world on fire and they just give him the big push. But when it becomes the norm, I don't like that. To me, you got to take your time and build these guys up first. Plus, you know, if you start them that high, I mean, Cross is one thing, but if you start doing that with other people and they're winning the championship or challenging for the championship, where do you go? The only place to go is down. Like, I don't see what's really accomplished by doing that. So, generally speaking, I'm not really a big fan of that.
Okay. And look, I love your cameograms. It's great. But I know you're a Walking Dead fan, and I'm a Walking Dead fan. So you know plenty about choreograms.
Mm-hmm.
So could we get a special choreogram?
No, because that's not how choral. That's how you say it. It doesn't make sense if you say it the other way. You gotta say it the way Rick would say it. Choral.
Choreogram.
Choral. There you go. I gave it to you the right way.
Well, thank you, Solomon, sir. You have a good night, sir.
You too. Wow, that was the question. I thought there was another like big question in there. Okay. Coral. That's how he would say his son's name. It wasn't Carl, it was Coral. Like the coral reef. We had a question here from Evan Watson with the $1.99 super chat. Would HBK put The Rock over if they ever wrestled? Well, the HBK of 10 years ago would have put The Rock over because he had turned a new leaf. He had done jobs for plenty of other people. And The Rock was so much a bigger star than Shawn Michaels was that it's not even funny. So, yes. I think he would have put The Rock over. He wouldn't have had a choice but to put The Rock over. If it was a match between them in 1999, when The Rock had first hit it big and was the champion, and the corporate champion, and then the babyface, and Shawn Michaels was still the Shawn Michaels of the late 90s, right? So probably pilled up and God knows what else. I don't think it would have been that simple. I don't think he would have wanted to put him over. There's a reason the match didn't happen, put it that way. There's probably multiple reasons. I know you heard the explanations about Shawn Michaels acting like a jerk when The Rock was small and his mother or grandmother was promoting and he remembered that. That may be true, but believe me, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why that match didn't happen. That is one of the matches, unfortunately, that we missed out on. And we will end here with 646. You are on the air.
Hey, Salamos, what's up? It's your boy, JC Zephyr. What's up, man?
JC Zephyr, what's going on?
What a way to end the stream, huh?
What a way.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you a question regarding Karrion Kross, but it's a different kind of question. So had he not been injured, who do you think he would have dropped the title to? Would it be someone in NXT roster or someone that has yet to sign with NXT?
It's one of those what-if questions that's impossible to answer because I think he would have had a long run with it. And so it comes down to how long. You know, I mean, if it's 6 months, I don't think he would have had it for a year or anything like that. Looking at the roster right now, I would think he would have dropped it to somebody who is currently on the roster. Maybe a Damian Priest. You know, someone like that. But it wouldn't have been until probably deep into next year. Maybe in the spring. Maybe around WrestleMania. Actually, probably even later than that. But I think it would have been somebody they probably already have under contract.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I was just thinking because I look at the roster and there's just – I don't just don't see anybody there that could actually just, you know, stand up to him and defeat him. I mean, you see a guy like him, like Karrion Kross, he's very intimidating. And the way he just jobbed out Tommaso Ciampa like he was nothing. And recently when he just defeated Keith Lee, which is unfortunate, obviously, for me, because – I'm a fan of Keith Lee, and I actually want him to succeed, and I kind of want him to have a bit of a longer run as champion, but that didn't happen. So I just don't really see much of anyone that I could see take seriously in terms of who is more threatening to Karrion Kross.
Yeah, and that might be more of a reason to move him. Yeah, that might be more of a reason when he comes back, maybe, you know, hopefully not more than a couple of months, to move him to Raw or move him to SmackDown. You know, that maybe that's the best thing for him. And everybody else.
Yeah, he might have a great feud with guys like Drew McIntyre and definitely against Brock Lesnar. That's my dream match.
Yeah, I mean, but so. Again, you got to take your time in terms of building that. I wouldn't send him to the main roster and thrust him immediately into a championship match with Drew McIntyre. That's what they did with him in NXT.
Oh, no.
I would take my time with him a little bit. Knowing WWE, though, they would form some kind of alliance with him and Baron Corbin because they do that. Either a feud or an alliance, but everything seems to go through Baron Corbin, right? That's what they did with Matt Riddle, right? Oh. To Baron Corbin. That's their thing.
Oh, God.
He breaks him in. He's like Please the Bradshaw. He's the Bradshaw of WWE. Breaks him in.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Well, I would say I would have Karrion stay far away from Baron Corbin, especially for, you know, Baron's sake, because Karrion Kross is the kind of person you just don't want to mess around with. And Baron is the kind of guy that he's just kind of aloof at times when it comes to dealing with call-ups or anybody in general.
Or Twitter.
So. Yeah. That's Orton's thing, though.
No, Orton is great when it comes to social media. Orton's entertaining as shit when it comes to Twitter and Instagram. I mean, I'm talking, and now Corbin has me blocked, so I can't see what he tweets, which is great. It's fine with me. But I saw that he was in the news recently where he was riffing on the fans and all they do is complain. And it's like, you know, but that's what they do.
Yeah.
I've never seen people who hate their audience as much as some of these wrestlers hate their audience. And in some cases, like with the women and some of the shit that they probably get on a daily basis, you can understand why. I mean, look at Sonya Deville for crying out loud. But in general, I've never seen a company and talent in a company just completely shit on their fans and look down on their fans and mock their fans as much as the WWE people do. It's just unbelievable to me.
Yeah. I remember Kevin Owens did that one time, blocking people. Like, I think he blocked Melissa Joan Hart at one point.
But that was his thing. That was his gimmick. He would, JBL is still the king of blocking. I mean, I think the thing with JBL that was always funny to me, there would be people who would be like, I'm blocked by JBL, but I never tweeted him. I don't know why I'm blocked. There were people who would tweet something at JBL like a compliment, but if it used the wrong word or named somebody maybe that he didn't like, you'd be blocked, just like that. Like, he's legendary as far as... I think everybody is blocked at this point by JBL. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's the internet for you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, Solid Monster. I really appreciate it, and hope you all have a good night. And shout out to everyone in the chat, and hope everyone stays safe.
Awesome. I will hopefully see you tomorrow night for the NXT stream. That is going to be the same bat time, same bat channel, 10 p.m. as soon as NXT, or AEW, I should say, goes off the air. I will be right here with you live. There it is. There's the preview for tomorrow night. Tag Team Gauntlet. Natural Nightmares, Young Bucks, Best Friends, and what was it that Tully Blanchard said? Fear the Revelation? Is that what he said on TV on Saturday night? I think that's what he called them. Fear the Revelation. Winning team receives an AEW Tag Team Championship match at All Out. So we're going to have some fun talking about that tomorrow night. Let me just check and see what our final super chats are here. Any final messages, any final questions that we may have? Let's see here. Oh, we got a few more. We got a few. Carlton, Big Papa Trill, His name is so long, it got cut off. So we'll call him Carlton. How about that? Who likes Keith Lee's original theme? I do. I like Keith Lee's original theme. So you got one person here, at least. You got yourself one person here who likes it. And Jackalope Music, $30 slap fight super chat. Coral Grimes. You know what? I know I said I would only do it for the 50 and above, but because I like Jackalope so much. As we end the stream here this week, I want to thank everybody who joined me for tonight's show. This has been fun. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow night talking AEW, and then I'm going to be back again on Sunday night. So on Sunday night, join me live right here. As soon as WWE Payback goes off the air, I'm going to be right back here for a pay-per-view recap with you. We're going to talk all the goings-on from Payback. And then next Tuesday, live right back here at 10 p.m. as soon as NXT goes off the air, perhaps the greatest NXT match in history. It could be, you know, given who's involved, it could be. And I'm going to be back here to talk about it. And next Wednesday, Dynamite, All Out's a few days later. Man, you're going to get a lot of live Solomonster, right? Yeehaw! You're going to get a lot of live Solomonster these next couple of weeks. Aren't you lucky? Aren't you lucky? You're a lucky bunch. And I'm very lucky to have all of your support, all your super chats and everything. I do very much appreciate it. Again, thank you to everybody who joined tonight, called in. And join me for episode 667 of the podcast coming up this Sunday on all the usual podcast platforms. So until then, be well, stay safe, and y'all come back now.